Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Global Citizen International Digest. I'm Mel Gertov, and I'll be reporting and commenting on the most important and sometimes the most neglected international news of the past week or so. Here are some of the news items I'll be covering. Plans to increase humanitarian aid to Gaza don't look promising. China's new budget reflects economic woes and political and humanitarian crisis in Haiti. First, on humanitarian aid to Gaza, the Biden administration's decision to airdrop meals into Gaza is not only a feeble and unreliable way to confront the humanitarian disaster there, it is also an admission of policy failure. Everyone concerned with humanitarian aid to Gaza knows that airdrops are dangerous, wholly insufficient, and unlikely to reach the people most in need. It would take hundreds, if not thousands, of cargo flights to make a difference. Hamas fighters may scoop up many of those meals. Moreover, medicine and water remain in gravely short supply. Then there's the plan to build a port off the Gaza coast to receive humanitarian aid. Not the worst idea for getting around Israeli blockades, but it will take 2 months or longer to complete, during which time hundreds more Palestinians will die. The obvious answer to this crisis is for Israel to allow more aid trucks to enter Gaza through more entry points. And that is precisely what Israel is refusing to do, and the administration is refusing to pressure Israel to do. Biden said the aid will be the subject of a come-to-Jesus meeting with Netanyahu, but he hasn't said what he will do if, as expected, Netanyahu balks at easing obstacles to aid deliveries. The Guardian reports that Melanie Ward, the chief executive of Medical Aid for Palestinians, has said, quote, "Instead of dropping packages from the sky, some of which end up in the sea or outside of Gaza, and which the most vulnerable cannot reach in any case, the U.S., the U.K., and others should ensure that Israel immediately opens all crossings into Gaza for aid and aid workers to assist those in need. This includes the Karni and Er Eretz crossings, which give direct access to the north of Gaza. Only safe and unfettered access for aid and aid workers, the lifting of the siege, and an immediate ceasefire can end starvation in Gaza," unquote. Those last few words are critical. End starvation. They prompted South Africa to appeal again to the International Court of Justice to take more action in light of the extreme urgency of the situation in Gaza. Once again, 8 U.S. senators have written Biden, urging that the U.S. use its leverage with military aid to force Israel to allow humanitarian aid, saying its failure to do so violates U.S. laws. Meantime, the latest casualty figures in the Israel-Hamas war: 30,000 Palestinians killed and 72,298 injured, according to the Gaza Health Ministry, and 1,200 Israelis killed in the October 7 attack, and 247 soldiers killed since then, according to Israeli sources. China's new budget reflects economic woes. The Chinese premier's annual report on the work of the government presented to the National People's Congress is usually a mundane affair, full of empty rhetoric and few details. But this year's report by Premier Li Qiang has more than its share of specifics about the state of China's economy and society. While giving the usual credit for achievements to the leadership of Xi Jinping, Li also offers some honest observations about China's problems. For example, he confirms that China has not fully recovered from the pandemic years and has serious problems of unemployment. Urban unemployment is 5.2%, real estate, local government debt, and consumer demand, saying, quote, "The foundation for China's sustained economic recovery and growth is not solid enough, as evidenced by a lack of effective demand, overcapacity in some industries, low public expectations, and many lingering risks and hidden dangers. We are confronted with both pressure on overall job creation and structural employment problems, and there are still many weak links in public services. Some primary level governments are facing fiscal difficulties. China's capacity for scientific and technological innovation needs to be further improved," unquote. On that last point, Li said China needs to, quote, "achieve greater self-reliance and strength in science and technology. A recognition that U.S. and European export controls on advanced technology are having an effect." The new budget calls for another big increase in military spending, 7.2%, though if other military-related expenditures are included, such as research and funding of the People's Armed Police, the rise in military spending is much larger. Other big increases in the budget are for education, 5%, and science and technology, 10%. As always, social stability is considered essential to economic progress, by which Premier Li means no mass protests or expressions of disloyalty to the party. Quote, "We should adhere to the principles of pursuing progress while ensuring stability, promoting stability through progress, and establishing the new before abolishing the old. Stability is of overall importance, as it is the basis for everything we do." The political and humanitarian crisis in Haiti. Crises in Haiti, whether political, economic, or environmental, seem never to end. Right now, we have an unelected prime minister who is unable to return home from a trip abroad, the U.S. State Department obtaining his resignation so that elections can take place, foreign diplomats leaving the country, and roving gangs that control the capital and terrorize the population. The streets of Port-au-Prince reek with the stench of the dead, a correspondent for The Washington Post reported on March 9. The premier, Ariel Henry, had been in office since the still-unsolved murder of President Jovenel Moïse in 2021. The presidency remains vacant. There is no functioning government, and there are no public services. U.S. policy is to have a multinational force impose security and pave the way for elections. Leaders of other Caribbean countries agreed. Gang leaders also wanted Henry's resignation, threatening further ruin otherwise. His resignation, however, depends on formation of a new government, and that is not a sure thing. As one expert on Haiti says, in contrast with the international response to the earthquake in 2010 that left 220,000 people dead, quote, "Right now, what is terrible is the sense of abandonment. You have no one to turn to." In other news, is isolationism taking hold in the U.S.? Ivo Dalder, a former U.S. ambassador to NATO, writes, quote, "A recent survey of U.S. foreign policy reveals a startling change. For the first time in nearly five decades, a majority of Republicans say the U.S. should stay out of, rather than play an active role in, world affairs. The Chicago Council survey, conducted by the Chicago Council on Foreign Affairs, found that the shift was led primarily by so-called Trump Republicans, the 47% of Republicans who held a very favorable view of Donald Trump," unquote. Among the other findings of the survey is differences over the benefits of alliances. Non-Trump Republicans are much more favorable to U.S. partnerships in the Middle East, East Asia, and Europe than are pro-Trump Republicans. Pro-Trump Republicans also are much less inclined now than they were in 2017 to use U.S. troops to defend Europe. But the poll also suggests that it's not isolationism, but shifting priorities that define the Trump Republicans' views. They are focused on immigration, China and Iran, not Ukraine, Russia, and climate change. According to the Chicago Council poll, quote, 9 in 10, or 92%, say U.S. leaders are not paying enough attention to the U.S.-Mexico border, and two-thirds say leaders should pay more attention to U.S.-China competition and Iran's nuclear program. At the same time, Trump Republicans see U.S. leaders as paying far too much attention to climate change and the Ukraine-Russia conflict, unquote. France enshrines abortion rights. France became the first country in the world to put the right to an abortion in its constitution. A special session of parliament voted overwhelmingly to make abortion a guaranteed freedom. The session was televised and, as reported by the Washington Post, quote, showed a montage of women's rights campaigners around the world holding signs declaring, "My body is mine," and "My body, my choice." It's widely thought that the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade prompted France's action. Two more Russian international criminals. Add two Russian generals to the list headed by Vladimir Putin and Maria Lvova-Belova, Russia's commissioner for children's rights, as indicted war criminals. The International Criminal Court has issued arrest warrants for Lieutenant General Sergei Ivanovich Kobylash and Admiral Viktor Kinilayevich Sokolov, who, the charge says, bear responsibility for missile strikes carried out by the forces under their command against the Ukrainian electric infrastructure from at least October 2022 until March of last year. Russia, like the U.S., is not a party to the Rome Treaty that established the International Criminal Court, so the actual effect of the ruling is to limit the accused's travels. Trump and Orban, a marriage not made in heaven. The late Senator John McCain called Hungary's leader, Viktor Orban, a neo-fascist dictator. That qualifies Orban as a Trump favorite, which he is, and therefore a favorite of the entire MAGA crowd. The two just met in Florida. What is peculiar here is that Orban, despite being the leader of a NATO country, has no invitation from the Biden administration and no plans to speak with anyone in Washington. This trip appears to be another step in mutual admiration between Trumpist Republicans and an authoritarian leader who models what some call illiberal democracy. Trump just said of Orban, quote, "There's nobody that's better, smarter, or a better leader than Viktor Orban. He's the boss," unquote. Yes, the boss over courts, the media, the legislature, you name it. Biden likened Orban's rule to dictatorship too, drawing a protest from the Hungarian government, which called in the ambassador to protest. On Ukraine, Orban reportedly said that Trump will not give a penny to Ukraine if he is reelected. Quote, "Therefore, the war will end because it is obvious that Ukraine cannot stand on its own feet," unquote. That comment confirms what we knew about Trump's plan to resolve the war in 24 hours. Finally, the Philippines-China contest over the South China Sea continues to heat up. The dispute between the Philippines and China over sovereignty in the South China Sea continues to intensify. The latest clash, caught on video, shows a Chinese armed Coast Guard vessel deliberately colliding with a Philippines supply boat. This is just the latest dangerous encounter, each time leading to Chinese warnings and Philippines counters, with each side claiming the shoals as its own. The Philippines has international law on its side, but Beijing has consistently disregarded a UN tribunal's decision in favor of the Philippines' claims. A new development is the Philippines government reaching out for security assistance beyond the alliance with the United States. As reported by the Washington Post, quote, "Since 2022, the Philippines has inked new defense agreements with the European Union, India, and Britain. Japan, Canada, and France are looking at signing visiting forces agreements with the Philippines, which would allow those countries to send troops to Philippine bases, according to their embassies," unquote. This is a major development in Philippine security policy, perhaps related to the fact that the U.S. is preoccupied with wars in Ukraine and Israel and is thus in no position to give much direct help to Manila against China. The conflict is also a huge turnaround from the days when Filipino President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. visited Beijing in January 2023 amidst professions of friendship and mutual respect. That visit resulted in a Chinese pledge to invest heavily in the Philippines. A hotline was established between the two countries. But since then, provocative incidents have occurred. A Chinese barrier placed in disputed waters, a Chinese vessel pointing a laser at a Philippine ship, a Chinese vessel firing a water cannon at a Philippine ship. Now we have the Philippines defense minister saying, quote, "The Philippines is not looking for trouble, but China has stepped into our living room. Before they enter our bedroom, we have to do something." And that's the Global Citizen International Digest for the week. I'm Mel Gertov. Thanks for listening and take good care.